Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to the Prophecy News Podcast. And man, oh man, do we have a show for you today. Pope Francis and Mohammed bin Zayed have now instituted Chrislam as the official one-world religion at every level. The Human Fraternity document created by Pope Francis and Mohammed bin Zayed has been confirmed by the United Nations and by the assembled council of the world religious leaders. I'd like to welcome you to the official grand opening of the One World Religion of Chrislam. The world's religious leaders on Thursday formally adopted the Human Fraternity document signed by His Eminence, the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar and Chairman of the Muslim Council of Elders, Dr. Ahmed El-Tayeb, and His Holiness, so-called, Pope Francis of the Catholic Church in Abu Dhabi in 2019. This came during the 7th Congress of Leaders of World and Traditional Religions, which concluded last week. Now, what does all this mean? It means that the Chrislam, started by Vatican evangelist Rick Warren, going all the way back to 2003, is now confirmed and complete. Revelation 13:6, and he opened up his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, the one world religion that we call Chrislam has now been ratified and codified on all levels, including at the United Nations. Pope Francis gave a lengthy speech, and we have a little bit of that for you today, at the 7th Congress of World and Traditional Religions, where they voted to make the Human Fraternity document created by himself and Mohammed bin Zayed official law and policy. And I'm reading from the Higher Committee of Human Fraternity Twitter feed. They tweeted out the document on human fraternity signed by His Holiness and His Eminence, the Grand Imam, under the patronage, that means money, of Mohammed bin Zayed, was adopted at the 7th Congress of World Leaders and Traditional Religions in Kazakhstan. Now, when you combine all of this with the Abraham Accords, also created by Mohammed bin Zayed, you have yourself the one world religion just waiting for its leader to step out of the shadows and take control. This means that the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is that much closer, as that event is the kickstarter for the time of Jacob's trouble and the day of the Lord time period. For those of you who attend our twice weekly Bible studies, you know all about the rapture and the day of the Lord and the time of Jacob's trouble and the Abraham Accords. And if you haven't found our Bible studies yet, we invite you to come and join us. Today, on the Prophecy News Podcast, we break it all down for you in glorious end times detail. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all these that you've gathered here, Lord. We are so glad and grateful for the increase that you've given us. And millions and millions of people come to Now the End Begins every single year. And they come looking for Bible truth. And we have it, Lord. Well, we don't have a monopoly on it, that's for sure. But we do have truth. And we stand on the word of a king, the King James Bible. Today, we pray for Laura Campoy, who was involved in a motor scooter accident and has a lengthy recovery. We're praying for Anetta up in New Jersey, had a stroke, but she's getting better, and she asked for prayers that she could walk again. Kevin Thompson asking prayers for a possible move in November. Robert Wiley battling ALS disease. Pastor Jeff Shaver needs prayer for a possible cancer diagnosis. Sandy Thomas needs the Lord to rule and overrule regarding her husband's Social Security money after he passed on July 1st of this year. Janine in South Africa And we are so grateful for our listeners all around the world. And they listen in South Africa. And she's asking for wisdom from the Lord that her husband would have the right words to say to witness to both sets of in-laws about their salvation. Linda and Joe asking for prayers for their daughter Danielle. She's a nurse who had to take the vaccine to keep her job, and she's been sick ever since. Joseph Perez says he will be homeless in less than a month, and he would like us to pray. And we are praying. Hang in there, brother. Charlton asking for prayers for Phoebe of South Carolina and Valerie of Georgia, moms who need guidance from the Lord about their kids. He also asked for prayers for his brother Martin, who needs a healing touch about health issues. And he says that he is always making a blanket prayer to cover your ministry needs and for the brothers and sisters in Christ and for lost people to get saved. Amen, brother. We appreciate you. Michael Duval asking for prayers for baby Luca Gross, born with a rare genetic disorder. Bianca, we've been praying for her. We got to meet her at the bookstore last week. She's a blessing. And she's having trouble in her marriage, and her husband needs to reclaim himself from addiction. He was addiction-free for 15 years, and then he forgot the pit that the Lord brought him out of. And when you do that, it's highly likely that you return, and he has returned. So we're praying that Derek would recover himself from the snare of the devil, as Paul says in Timothy. Raquel would like prayers for her 11-year-old son who has an eating disorder. Marie Cariocchi, and she was telling me yesterday that I very much mangled the pronunciation of her last name. And I don't know. I was raised with a lot of Italians and Jews. I thought I was pretty good at that stuff, but maybe not. So Marie in Philadelphia would like prayers for her friend Yvonne. She says our friend, a doctor, checked her and said he doesn't think she will make it. But I've witnessed to her and she is saved. So please pray for Marie Cariocchi's friend, Yvonne. Fred is in need of our prayers. He was on our praise list for having recovered from a brain tumor, but now he is having seizures and we're going to put him back on the list. Amen. Jan Lacker, her husband is sick with COVID. Please pray for her protection and his recovery. Absolutely. Oh, Lori Ann has a praise report. Well, she's been waiting on this for a long time. Liam has gotten his scholarship award letter. And he's been approved. And that is good, good, good news. I can remember when we were praying for Mia from Texas, and she needed the judge to rule and overrule in her favor. And we prayed for weeks, maybe even a couple of months. And that whole thing just dragged out. And it looked like it was never going to get resolved. And then one day, Mia came into the chat room with a praise report. And this is why we pray. We don't know what the Lord's going to do, but we know that he's going to do it. Does that make any sense? We don't know what the Lord's going to do, but we know that he's going to do it. And many, many times, I have been driving the car in the afternoon after praying in the morning for God to watch over, and narrowly missed more than one occasions where it could have been a bad accident. And I turned to my kids one time. We almost got sideswiped. And my kids were really shaken up, and I was shaken up too. But I turned to them and said, this is why we start the day in prayer. And it's the greatest weapon that we have, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, crying, Abba, Father. And I am so glad for the praise reports, and I just know that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, we commit this time to you. We thank you. We praise you. You are Abba. You are the First and the last, you're the beginning and the end. You're the Alpha, you're the Omega, and you are the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, the name that is above Jehovah. Man, that's something to think about. You ever think about that? The name of Jesus Christ is above the name of Jehovah, Father God. Whew, that's pretty good. And we come before you, Lord, and Lord, there's people that are sick and they need a healing. Fred needs control over the seizures, and Pastor Jeff Shaver, he's worried about a cancer diagnosis, and Jan Lacker's husband has COVID. Heal him, Lord, and keep her safe. And Father God, we just thank you for your mercy. We thank you. You woke us up today. You put food on the table. You put clothes on our back. You put a roof over our head. We're so glad. We're so grateful. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it, Lord, because you are worthy. You are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Things are heating up to an unbelievable degree. And I want to give a shout out to Penny. She does not like any sort of acknowledgement, so I'm not going to mention her last name, but I know who she is. And Penny is one of those people. She is constantly on the lookout for end times stuff. And one of her main points of interest is she's very concerned about the Abraham Accords, and she's very concerned about Chrislam. And she sent me some stuff last week, and it just, well, I don't want to say it went viral because it didn't go that big, but it went pretty big. We did an article on the 17th. That was Saturday. Chrislam confirmed, led by Pope Francis, leaders of the world's religions formally adopt the Human Fraternity Document at the 7th Congress. And we did that article on a Saturday, and it just absolutely blew up. Now, one of the reasons why it blew up is because our friend Steve Quayle decided to feature that link on his website. If you've never been to stevequayle.com, you should go and you should check it out. And for the past 10 years, outside of Facebook, the number one website that has referred people to Now the End Begins is stevequayle.com. So we want to say, hey, thanks, brother. Thank you for your support and helping us to get the word out. And that article, world leaders formally adopt Chrislam as the one world religion. Bruce Bridges is asking, what about the legal treaty ceremony on the UN at the 26th? The treaty is to formally enshrine Agenda 2030 into international law and is to last for 7 years. Oh, don't get ahead of me, Bruce. Don't take my program from me. No, I'm just kidding you, brother. Yeah, we're going to talk about all that today. We're going to talk about all that. Trisha just said maybe we can have Steve Quayle on for an interview. He doesn't like to do a lot of interviews, but maybe he'll do this one with us, and we sure would appreciate it. Steve Quayle, if you're listening, we'd love to have an NTEB sit down with you. Got a lot of people who would like to hear that interview. So what's happening today has been building for a very, very long time. And if you have been coming to Now the End Begins, we have lots of people who have been reading our articles for 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 12 years. We even have a couple of people who have been with us the entire time. People like Jeanette. And I can't think of, I got so many things in my head right now, but that's just the quick, easy answer. She's been with us from the very, very beginning. She's been with us before anybody knew who we were. And one of the things that we used to talk about all the time is we used to talk about Rick Warren and Chrislam. Now, Rick Warren has since retired. He is no longer running Saddleback Church. He is no longer a working pastor. He has retired. But before he retired, well, he worked for the Vatican, and he started something called his peace plan. I want to refresh your memory with what Rick Warren's peace plan actually was. Take a listen to this.
I could take you to 10 million villages around the world. The only thing in it's church. And I could take it to millions of villages around the world where the only thing in it's a mosque. There are more boots on the ground there, and hundreds of millions of people volunteer through their spiritual base on a weekly basis. What if we were able to mobilize that for these big issues? Sitting on the ground there, I came up with a plan we called the Peace Plan, P-E-A-C-E.
And let me stop Rick Warren right there. If you have a King James Bible, you might want to grab it, because we're going to be ripping through it today, just like we did for 4 hours yesterday. What a blessing yesterday was. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 3. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, not the rapture, not the day of Christ, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. So Rick Warren has been talking about world peace for years. But he's not talking about the peace that comes with Jesus Christ. He's talking about the peace that comes when man gets together with man and resolves their difficulties and finds the common ground. And you know who's in charge of that peace plan? The other guy.
Promote reconciliation, that's the P. Equip leaders, that's the E. Assist the poor. Care for the sick. Educate the next generation. We've been doing this now for 6 years. And we're doing it with anybody who wants to work. In fact, I've found we're more willing to work with people than people are willing to work with us. And you know what? My attitude is you don't have to see eye to eye to walk hand in hand. And you can disagree without being disagreeable. And this is what Barack Obama and I happened to agree on. 3 years ago, I took enormous heat for inviting Barack Obama to Saddleback Church.
Pay attention.
Because he had some views that people in my church would disagree with. And?
Yes, and those views were highly radical. Those views were pro-Islam. Those were the views. If you remember, we talked about that. I have published over 1,300 articles about Barack Obama and his radical views. Most people have forgotten about that by now, but we haven't.
So what? And now, 3 years later, he's invited me to the inauguration. That's been a big deal. But you know what? I didn't come here to talk about that. But the point I want to make is, here are two guys who said, we have to restore civility to civilization. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but the world is getting ruder. It's getting more mean. It's getting more hateful. I don't have a right to hate anybody, even if they hate me. I am commanded to love them. And so we have to just work on the stuff we can agree on together. Now, here is my challenge to you as leaders in Impact. And you're a leader because you're here tonight. The very fact that you're here means that you are a Muslim leader. And I honor you for that. I was asked the other day, what do you pray for the president? And I said, I pray for the president the same thing that I pray for myself. Integrity, humility, and generosity. Because these are the three things that insulate you from the three traps that cause most leaders to stumble.
Mm-hmm. Rapture 57 in the chat room just pointed out, does he ever once mention Jesus Christ? No, he doesn't. Here's a fun fact. Last week on Thursday, the Pope over in Kazakhstan, he spoke for 12 and a half minutes. He didn't mention Jesus Christ one single time. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the vicar of Christ, that's what he calls himself, the pontiff, the supreme pontiff, can you imagine the supreme pontiff vicar of Christ going to a conference of world religions and never mentioning the name of Jesus Christ one single time? Well, this is what we've been telling you for years and years and years and years. And that clip from Rick Warren, that clip is almost 15 years old. Can you believe that? And Rick Warren going all the way back to 2003. I get all mixed up with the numbering system. Going all the way back to 2003, Rick Warren was pushing to combine Islam with Roman Catholicism.
I come to you today with a spirit of love and a spirit of friendship, a spirit of deep respect. I love my dear, dear Muslim friends, my next door neighbor, and so many that are friends. And I love you. Now, dear friends, as globalization draws us closer and closer together, one of the most pressing questions we have to ask ourselves.
Did you hear what he said? As globalization draws us closer and closer together, like it's a good thing.
Is how do we deal with our deepest differences? It is a fundamental question we have to wrestle with. How do we live together in peace and harmony? And not only that, how can we actually work together, maintaining our separate traditions, maintaining our convictions without compromise, but working together for the greater good of everybody in the world?
You know, at this point, we could pretty much call an end to the podcast and everybody could go back about their business. I mean, we've already established the case, but there's more. There's a lot more. And we got to talk about these things. A couple of years ago, back in 2013, Rick Warren gave an interview with Raymond Arroyo from EWTN Networks. And this is what Rick Warren had to say about the newly elected Pope Francis. Take a listen to what Rick Warren said back in 2013 about the new Pope with Raymond Arroyo. Take a listen to this.
Authenticity, humility, Pope Francis is the perfect example of this. He is doing everything right. You see, people will listen to what we say if they like what they see. Mm-hmm. And as our new Pope, he was very, very symbolic in, you know.
Wait a second. Rick Warren just said our new Pope? When did Rick Warren become a Roman Catholic? He's not the Pope over anybody else. Now, hey, if you're a Roman Catholic and you follow the Pope, well, it's a free country. Help yourself. I'm not going to make fun of you. But when did evangelical Christian pastor Rick Warren, what on earth would possess him to use the expression, our Pope? I really don't understand that. Do you? Well, I do. It's a rhetorical question.
His first mass with people of AIDS, his kissing of the disformed man, his loving the children, this authenticity, this humility, the caring for the poor. This is what the whole world expects us Christians to do. And when they go, oh, that's what a Christian does. In fact, there's a headline here in Orange County, and I love the headline. I saved it. It said, If you love Pope Francis, you'll love Jesus.
That was a headline?
That was a headline. Oh. It was a headline. I saved it. I showed it to a group of priests I was speaking to a while back.
So Rick Warren concludes that by saying that he, when he talks about our Pope, he said that he was talking with a group of priests a while back. And as luck would have it, I just happened to have a testimony from one of those Catholic priests from that meeting that Rick Warren said that he attended. So take a listen to the time that a Catholic priest recalls Rick Warren teaching him Catholic doctrine. Take a listen to this.
By the way, I got to tell you the story. A couple of years ago, I was part of a small group of Catholics, Catholic leaders who met with the Protestant pastor, Rick Warren, in Saddleback Church. And there was 30 of us in the room, and he came in. And sometimes people, I hear a lot of Catholics say, oh, Rick Warren, you know, big mega church, those Americans, blah, 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 blah. This guy's the real deal, I got to tell you. He's a beautiful, humble man, holy man, incredibly gifted. He sat down, I was sitting in the front row, and he was actually closer to me than you are. And he leaned forward and pulled out of his back pocket of his jeans a dog-eared, tattered, first edition copy of Evangelii Nuncianti. And he opened it up and he started to teach us from Pope Paul VI. And I was kind of looking and I could see it was all...
Did you hear what the priest just said? Rick Warren opened up this famous Roman Catholic book and began to teach the Roman Catholic priests about Catholic doctrine. Are you starting to see where I'm going with this?
Underlined and writings in the comma and highlighted. It was amazing. So this was an amazing document. And what?
So I got one more clip that I have to play about Rick Warren, and this will tie the whole thing together. A number of years ago, I found this video. Rick Warren had made a commercial promoting and defending Roman Catholicism. And this commercial was financed by the Vatican. Now, you're not going to find a whole lot of copies of this on YouTube, but the Lord led me to it, and we were able to grab this copy. I want you to listen to this commercial that was created and financed by the Vatican, and take a listen to what Rick Warren has to say.
We have far more in common than what divides us. When you talk about Pentecostals, charismatics, evangelicals, fundamentalists, Catholics, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, on and on and on, well, they would all say, we believe in the Trinity, we believe in the Bible, we believe in the resurrection, we believe salvation is through Jesus Christ. These are the big issues.
Let me just stop him right there. You know, when people are trying to bamboozle you, when people are trying to sucker you in, one of the first things that they'll say is, hey, we all agree on the fundamentals of the faith. Well, Satan agrees on the fundamentals of the faith. That really has no bearing on what you're actually promoting. So whenever you are talking with somebody and they say, well, we all agree on the fundamentals of the faith, that's a con artist right there.
Sometimes Protestants think that Catholics worship Mary like she's another god, but that's not exactly Catholic doctrine. There's the understanding, and people say, well, what are the saints all about? Why are you praying to the saints? And when you understand what they mean by what they're saying, there's a whole lot more commonality. Now, there's still real differences. No doubt about that. But the most important thing is, if you love Jesus, we're on the same team.
If you love Jesus, we're on the same team. Show me that in the Bible.
The unity that I think we would see realistically is not a structural unity, but a unity of mission. And so when it comes to the family, we are co-workers in the field on this for the protection of what we call the sanctity of life, the sanctity of sex, and the sanctity of marriage. So there's a great commonality, and there's no division on any of those three. Many times people have been beaten down for taking a biblical stance, and they start to feel, well, maybe I'm out here all by yourself. No, you're not. The church is growing in Latin America. The church is growing in Asia. The church is growing in Africa. It's not growing in North America or Europe, but it is growing everywhere else. And so we
did you hear what he said? He said that the church is growing. What church is he talking about? If you've been paying attention, you understand that he's talking about the Roman Catholic Church. You understand that this entire 2.5-minute commercial is Rick Warren, a supposed Christian evangelist, trying to get you to swallow worshiping Mary, praying to the saints, and agreeing that the Pope is your leader. That's what was behind the purpose-driven church. And this commercial was produced and financed by the Vatican.
We kind of have this feeling that maybe we're not as influential, but we're far more influential than people realize.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't that just sound so good and folksy guitar? It almost sounds like the background music. Remember a number of years ago, those Motel 6 radio commercials, and it had that guy, I forget that guy's name, but he had a really good southern folksy voice, and he said, you know, Motel 6, we'll leave the light on for you. And they played that type of guitar in the background, right? Well, that's what they do when they're trying to bamboozle you. So earlier today, I went over to the Twitter page of Pope Francis, and I'm going to put into the chat room just one little sentence that I sent to the Vatican, and you can see it. I just put it into the chat room. Pope Francis, on September 15th, he tweeted, and this is his new gospel now, "We defend everybody's right to religion, to hope, to beauty, to heaven. For every human being in their absolute uniqueness, if they are in contact with the divine," I wonder who that is, "can radiate a special light in our world." That's the gospel of Pope Francis. And I went there, and you can see that I put the link for our article on Saturday, and I said to him, "You have created Chrislam, the one world religion of Antichrist. The Lord rebuke you." And so there are times that social media is actually a good thing, and it gives you access to people, and you can send messages to people that you would never be able to send messages to any other way. And I'm sure that I'm going to take some heat for that, and I'm sure that perhaps a Twitter suspension is in the workings. I just posted it literally 5 minutes before we went on the air. But I want you to pay attention, not so much to what I posted, but to what he said. Is that the gospel of the grace of God? We defend everybody's right to heaven so that you can be in contact with the divine. What is that nonsense? That is New Age mumbo jumbo, is what that is. That is absolute nonsense. But that's exactly what the Vicar of Christ is doing. And he is not preaching the gospel. He's not preaching any type of gospel. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, talking about Israel, but he could certainly be talking about the Roman Catholic Church. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And then he says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they didn't mention the name of Jesus Christ one single time. And he's supposed to be the vicar of Christ. He's supposed to be the person that when he sits on his throne, he is infallible. Well, let's take a listen to what Pope Francis actually said. I want to play a little clip for you of Pope Francis from last Thursday confirming the one world religion of Chrislam. Take a listen to this.
As I mentioned earlier, this is the final event of Pope Francis' 38th apostolic journey to abroad in Kazakhstan. Dear brothers and sisters, we have traveled this road together, and I thank you for coming from so many different parts of the world and for bringing with you the richness of your beliefs and cultures. Thank you for having taken part so intensely in these days of work, commitment, and sharing in the service of dialogue. This is more valuable than ever in challenging times like our own, when the problems of the pandemic have been compounded by the utter folly of war. There are altogether too many cases of hatred and division, too little dialogue and effort to understand others. In our globalized world, this is all the more dangerous and scandalous. Our human family cannot advance if simultaneously united and divided, interconnected and torn apart by massive inequality. Thank you then for these efforts to build peace and unity. Our thanks go likewise to the local authorities who hosted us and organized this Congress with great care, and to the hospitable and courageous people of Kazakhstan, capable of embracing other cultures while at the same time preserving their own noble history and precious traditions. Kiobrakmet, bolshoe spasibo. Thank you very much.
Ha come moto messaggeri di pace e di unità, e al plurale perché il cammino è comune.
The motto of my visit, now drawing to an end, has been messengers of peace and unity. It is deliberately in the plural, for all of us are on a common journey. This seventh Congress, in which we have taken part by the grace of the Almighty, has marked an important step on this shared itinerary. Since its inception in 2003, this event has taken as its model the Day of Prayer for Peace in the World, convened in 2002 in Assisi by John Paul II, in order to reaffirm the positive contribution made by the religious traditions to dialogue and to harmony between peoples. After the events of the 11th of September 2001, it was necessary to respond collectively to the incendiary atmosphere that terrorist violence sought to incite, and which threatened to turn religion into a grounds for conflict. Pseudo-religions, terrorism, extremism, radicalism and nationalism, dressed up in religious garb, nonetheless continued to foment fears and concerns about religion. In these days, then, it proved providential that we could come together once more in order to reaffirm the authentic and inalienable essence of religion. In this regard, the declaration of the Seventh Congress states that extremism, radicalism, terrorism, and all other incentives to hatred, hostility, violence, and war, whatever their motivations or goals, have nothing to do with the authentic spirit of religion, and must be rejected in the most decisive terms possible, without ifs or buts. Furthermore, since the Almighty has created all people equal, regardless of their religious, ethnic, or social origin.
Are you waiting on the edge of your seat with pins and needles for him to name the name of Jesus Christ? Well, if you are, you're going to be waiting a long time.
We are agreed that mutual respect and understanding should be considered essential and indispensable in religious teaching. Kazakhstan, at the heart of the great and pivotal continent of Asia, was the natural place for us to meet. Its flag reminded us of the need to maintain a healthy relationship between politics and religion. Indeed, if the golden eagle displayed on that flag speaks of earthly authority and ancient empires, the blue background evokes the color of the sky and thus transcendence. There is thus a healthy connection between politics and transcendence, a sound form of coexistence that keeps their spheres distinct, distinct but not confused or separate. Let us say no to their confusion, for the sake of all people who need, like the eagle, a free sky in which to fly, a free space open to the infinite and not straitened by earthly power. Transcendence, for its part, must not yield to the temptation to turn into power, lest heaven fall to earth, the eternal beyond be chained to an earthly present, and love.
Are you noticing some of the vocabulary that this translator is using as she interprets and translates the words of Pope Francis? He's using words like the great almighty, the great beyond, transcendence. Now, here's the fun fact. Years ago, before I got saved, I was part of the New Age. I used to experiment with astral projection and automatic writing, and I used to be in contact with spirit beings from other dimensions. And one of the words that we used to use all the time is the word transcendence. That's a New Age word. That's what that is. And if you've been paying attention to what the Nightwatch Audis just said, he sounds like a Masonic grandmaster. Well, he sure does.
Of neighbor become prey to partisan decisions. No, then, to confusion between politics and transcendence, but no, also to their separation. For the highest human aspirations cannot be excluded from public life and relegated solely to the private sphere. Consequently, those who legitimately desire to voice their beliefs must be protected, always and everywhere. Yet how many people are even now persecuted and discriminated against on account of their faith? We have insistently appealed to governments and relevant international organizations to provide assistance to religious groups and ethnic communities whose human rights and fundamental freedoms have been violated or subjected to violence by extremists and terrorists, also as a result of wars and military conflicts. Above all, we must ensure that religious freedom will never be a mere abstraction but a concrete right. We defend everyone's right to religion, to hope, to beauty, to heaven. Kazakhstan is, in the words of its national anthem, a sky of golden sun, and the same is true of each human being. In their absolute uniqueness, if they are in contact with the divine, every man and woman can radiate a special light in our world. For this reason, the Catholic Church, which tirelessly proclaims the inviolable dignity of each person created in the image of God, also believes in the unity of the human family.
And now we're going to get to the meat of the matter. You've been listening to him talk for the past 5 or 6 minutes. Now he's going to give you the big payoff.
The Church believes that all humanity forms but one community. This is so because all stem from the one stock that God created to people the entire earth, and because all share a common destiny, namely God. His providence, evident goodness, and saving designs extend to all mankind. Hence, from the outset of this Congress, the Holy See, particularly through its Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue, has taken an active part in it. It wishes to continue to do so, for the path of interreligious dialogue is a shared path to peace and for peace. As such, it is necessary and irrevocable.
Let me just interrupt her for yet another moment and direct your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's just take a look at verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It would seem that your Bible takes the opposite position of Pope Francis in the Seventh Congress of World and Traditional Religions. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, as Pope Francis is regaling you with, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Bible takes a 180-degree opposite position of the Vicar of Christ, Pope Francis.
Interreligious dialogue is no longer merely something expedient. It is an urgent, needed, and incomparable service to humanity, to the praise and glory of the Creator of all. Brothers and sisters, in thinking of this shared path, I ask myself, what is our point of convergence? Pope John Paul II, who visited Kazakhstan 21 years ago this very month.
So he went from talking about transcendence, now he's talking about convergence. If you've ever spent time investigating the religion of Gaia and earth worship and the mother goddess, you know who he's talking about. He's not talking about Jesus Christ, that's for sure.
Stated that for the Church, all ways lead to man, and that man is the way for the Church. I would like to say that today man is also the way for all the religions.
Did you hear what he just said? That man is the way for religion? Now, if you've ever read your Bible for more than 5 minutes ever in your entire life, who talks like that? Who in your Bible talks about man and who speaks against God? Well, you know who it is.
Yes, man, men and women, concrete human beings weakened by the pandemic, worn out by war, wounded by indifference. Human beings, frail and marvelous creatures, who once God is forgotten, are left in darkness, and apart from others, cannot survive. The good of humanity should be taken into consideration ahead of strategic and economic objectives, national, energy, and military interests, and in advance of crucial decisions. To make decisions that are truly great, we should look to children, to young people and their future, to the elderly and their wisdom, to ordinary people and their genuine needs.
Whatever happened to looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith from the book of Hebrews? Why is Pope Francis getting you to look at each other and to follow each other? And man is the measure of all things, and man guides religion, and man is the leader. Wasn't this the problem back in the Garden of Eden? I don't know.
We have spoken out and insisted that the human person cannot be reduced to what he or she produces and earns, that human beings must be accepted and never discarded, that the family, a word that in the Kazakh language means nest of soul and love, is a natural and irreplaceable reality that must be protected and promoted so that tomorrow's men and women may grow and mature. For all human beings, the great religious and wisdom traditions are calls to testify to the existence of a shared spiritual and moral patrimony based on two principles, transcendence and fraternity. Transcendence, the beyond, worship. It is impressive that each day millions and millions of men and women of different ages come.
So let me give you just a couple of the key words from Pope Francis's speech. Convergence, transcendence, humanity, man, fraternity.
Cultures and social conditions join together in prayer in countless places of worship. This is the hidden force that makes our world move forward. And then, fraternity, the other proximity. For one cannot profess genuine fidelity to the Creator without showing love for His creatures. This is the spirit that pervades the declaration of our Congress. In concluding, I would like to emphasize three words that it contains.
All right. He's about ready to wrap up his speech. And he's going to conclude, and he wants to give you three important words. Let's see what they are.
The first word is a synthesis of everything, the expression of a heartfelt plea, the dream and the goal of our journey. Peace, bebicilik, mir, pace. Peace is urgently needed because in our day every military conflict or hotspot of tension and confrontation will necessarily have a baneful domino effect and seriously compromise the system of international relations. Peace, on the other hand, is more than the absence of war. It cannot be reduced to the maintenance of the balance of power between opposing forces, nor does it arise out of despotic dominion. But it is appropriately called the effect of righteousness. Peace is born of fraternity. It grows through the struggle against injustice and inequality. It is built by holding out a hand to others. We who believe in the Creator of all must be on the front lines in promoting the growth of peaceful coexistence. We must bear witness to peace, preach peace, implore peace. The declaration thus exhorts world leaders to...
We must bear witness to peace, preach peace, implore peace. Weren't we supposed to bear witness to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day according to the Scriptures? 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Isn't that what we're supposed to be bearing witness to? Guess not.
Put an end to conflicts and bloodshed everywhere and to abandon aggressive and destructive rhetoric. We plead with you, in the name of God and for the good of humanity, work for peace, not weapons. Only by serving the cause of peace will you make a name for yourselves in the annals of history. If peace is lacking, it is because care, tender love, the ability to generate life are lacking. Our quest of peace must thus increasingly involve, and here is the second word, women. Because women bestow care and life upon the world. They are themselves a path towards peace. For this reason, we have endorsed the need to defend their dignity and to approve their social status as equal members of the family and of society. Women must also be entrusted with greater positions and responsibilities. How many calamitous decisions might have been avoided had women been directly involved in decision-making? We commit ourselves to ensuring that women are increasingly respected, acknowledged, and involved. Lastly, the third word, the young. Young people are messengers of peace and unity, in the present and in the future. It is they who more than anyone else call for peace and respect for the common home of creation. The ingrained attitudes of domination and exploitation, the hoarding of resources, nationalism, war, and carving out spheres of influence shape an older world, which the young reject, a world that has no room for their hopes and dreams. In the same way, harsh and repressive forms of religion belong not to the future, but to the past. Mindful of future generations, we have stressed the importance.
I think that's about all that I can take from Pope Francis, but you can, that was about 11 minutes and 35 seconds of his speech, and you can trust me, he doesn't say the name Jesus. But he's talking about peace, 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 peace. I just put an article into the chat room entitled, "Why do Roman Catholic popes and Nazi soldiers both make the two-fingered peace sign salute?" Have you ever wondered about that? Where do you think that peace sign comes from? That has nothing to do with peace. If you would have been in the military during World War II, you would know that that two-fingered sign is a sign to shoot somebody. So there you have Pope Francis, and he confirmed, I don't want to say confirmed the covenant, because that doesn't happen until we're out of here, but he certainly confirmed the Declaration of Human Fraternity, and I'm going to talk about that for a second, because I'm sure that there's some people in the chat room that are not 100% up to speed with what the Document of Human Fraternity is, that was created back in 2019 by Pope Francis and Mohammed bin Zayed. But before we do that, I want to show you an article that we did a couple of years ago. And the headline of this article says, "Why was the Papal Audience Hall building at the Vatican constructed in the shape of a giant reptile?" And there's a building at the Vatican, and the entire building is in the shape of a serpent. And it's uniquely constructed so that when the Pope is sitting in the seat, he is speaking to the people from the mouth of the serpent that the building has been created in the shape of. Now, you look at those pictures, and if you're listening to this podcast and you're not in the chat room, just go to nowtheendbegins.com and just type in the word reptile, and the article will pop right up for you. But why is the building known as the Papal Audience Hall, where the Pope speaks from his throne, why is that in the shape of a reptile, of a serpent? Now, the Bible says this, and I'm going to show you a picture, Revelation 2:13. Revelation 2, verse 13, "I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth." Would you like to see the seat in the Papal Audience Hall? In the mouth of the serpent that the Pope sits on? You want to see what it looks like? That's what it looks like. Now, that's a picture of Pope Benedict. This did not start with Francis. I think they built this building back in the 1970s. But I want you to look at that seat that the Pope sits on and remember that he is sitting in what would be the mouth of the serpent while he's giving whatever talk that he's giving. And that really demonic sculpture that's behind him, it looks like demons picking apart the body of Jesus Christ. But when you look closely at the what's supposed to be the body of Christ, it's actually turning into a reptile. Now, I'm not making this up. I'm not slandering anybody. I'm just simply showing you the inside of the papal audience hall at the Vatican. And when I go to Genesis chapter 3 and I read this, now the serpent, you know who that is? Genesis 3 verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Do you realize that the very first thing that Satan wanted to do is to come against God and deny his word? First four words ever spoken by the devil to any human being. Yea, hath God said? Oh, really? Did God say that? Now, it begins to make a lot more sense when you go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And let's take a listen to what the serpent said back on that fateful day. Isaiah 14, starting in verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. And then Isaiah concludes by saying, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now the Bible says this in the book of Daniel. Daniel 11:45, and he shall plant his tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Do you realize that the devil winds up in hell in the lake of fire, and he's just another number? You know, we've all seen the artwork and the movies and the songs and the music, and it would lead you to believe that Satan is in charge of hell, and that when you get there, you're going to be tortured by the devil. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Isaiah 14, starting in verse 15, talking to Satan, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? And the Bible says in verse 19 about Satan, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the remnant of those that are slain thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. No, the devil does not control anything. Ron is asking why the sides of the pit, and why not the center or the bottom of the pit? Well, the clue is in Isaiah 14. Look up, and you'll see where God's throne is. Look at verse 13. Ron has a really good question. Why does it talk about the sides of the pit? Because it's endless. There's no bottom. For thou hast said in thine heart, Isaiah 14:13, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. No, you won't. And look at where it says that God's throne is, in the sides of the north. Why is it called the sides of the north? Because it is infinite. It never ends. There's no bottom. There's no back. It's all sides, and you're in the middle. So, when you understand what hell is the opposite of heaven. Heaven is on the sides of the north. Hell is on the sides of the pit. Turn to Isaiah 5:14. Turn to Isaiah 5:14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. There is no end to heaven. It extends out endlessly and infinitely. There is no end to hell. It extends out endlessly and infinitely. Hell extends down and out. Heaven extends up and away. The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, talks about the falling away. Is that the rapture? No, the falling away is not the rapture, even though Andy Wood says that it is. The falling away is people falling away from a standing position into apostasy. Anytime you fall down. Falling is never a good thing. It is always an indication of a bad thing. And the Bible says about the righteous man that in Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. The righteous man can sin, and the wicked man can sin. The righteous man can sin multiple times, but at some point, he'll get on his feet with God, and he will rise up again. The wicked never will. The wicked never do. And Astern says, falling away to apostasy. That's exactly what the falling away is talking about. And people like Rick Warren have been dumbing down Christians for almost half of a century. And this is why people don't know the truth, because they sit in churches where Bible doctrine is not preached. And a number of people have written to me, and they're mad because I dared to take on Andy Woods and his heretical false teaching that he has, where he says that the falling away in 2 Thessalonians 2:3 is not a falling away into apostasy, but it is a falling up into the rapture. Now, I'm not a Rhodes Scholar. I didn't even finish college. I'm just a guy who's saved. All I have is the King James Bible and the Holy Spirit. If you were to tell the Greek and Hebrew scholars that that's all I have, they would feel sorry for me. All he has is a dusty old archaic King James Bible and the Holy Spirit. Well, he's not one of us. He's not smart enough. Oh, man, oh, man. The falling away is apostasy. And we read about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul talks about a famine, 2 Timothy chapter 4. We've read these verses many times, and we'll read them 1,000 times more. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Paul says, the same guy who wrote about the falling away of the church, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Now, you could divide that verse up right there. The quick is the rapture, the first resurrection. The dead is the second resurrection and the lake of fire. His appearing is the rapture. His kingdom is his second coming. This is what we were talking about last night in the Bible study, about rightly dividing. In just that one verse, Paul gives you the rapture and the second coming twice. And most people don't ever even see it. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick That's the rapture. That's the first resurrection. And the dead, that's the second resurrection, the people who stay dead. At his appearing, that's the rapture, Titus 2:13. And his kingdom, Revelation 19, that's how you rightly divide. But I digress. Paul says in verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. Why is Paul talking about doctrine? Verse 3, for the time will come, 2022, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers. Teachers like Rick Warren and Andy Woods, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned on to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now do you see what the falling away is? All you have to do is compare scripture to scripture. It's right there. You don't need to be a Greek and Hebrew scholar. And in fact, if you are a Greek and Hebrew scholar, it's highly likely that you don't understand one thing that I just said. Because I've never met a Greek and Hebrew scholar that believed that the King James Bible was where God has preserved his word. Now, I know we have a global audience. If you are a Greek and Hebrew scholar and you do believe that the King James Bible is God's preserved word, I didn't say a preserved word. I said the preserved word. If you're a Greek and Hebrew scholar who believe like we believe, I would like to make your acquaintance. Please email me info@nowtheendbegins.com and I would like to talk with you. Because in 31 years, I have never met a Bible scholar who called themselves a Bible scholar. I'm just a student. That's all I am. But in 31 years, I've never met a Greek and Hebrew scholar that believed that the King James Bible was God's preserved word. Now, we're starting to run out of time, but we're going to go a little bit over because we started a little bit late. And I don't want to shortchange anybody. So let me tell you about this document that is causing all of this hubbub, that is causing all of this furor. This document is called the Document of Human Fraternity. And it was officially signed in Abu Dhabi in February of 2019. And we told you about that, and I'm going to post that article in just a second. But back in 2019, Pope Francis and Mohammed bin Zayed traveled to Abu Dhabi. And they traveled there on a mission. And that mission was to have the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar Mosque sign a document called the Document of Human Fraternity. And what made this possible was Mohammed bin Zayed financed it, and Mohammed bin Zayed of the United Arab Emirates, he used his power and his influence to convince the leader of Sunni Islam in the Middle East, Ahmed al-Tayeb, to sign this document with Pope Francis. And when they signed it, they kissed each other on the mouth. Now, I'm not saying that that was anything homosexual. I'm just simply saying that's how they sealed their covenant, and it was called the Declaration of Human Fraternity for World Peace. Now, since 2019, that document has been officially and formally adopted in Buddhism. It's been adopted in paganism. It's been adopted in all sorts of different places. May 14th has been designated as World Human Fraternity Day. And every May 14th, isn't it funny? That's, we talk about a springtime rapture. The devil knows when the rapture is. He absolutely does. And Pope Francis created this document with Mohammed bin Zayed. And after the document was signed, Mohammed bin Zayed, who is the patron, he's the money man, he was placed on the board of the Abrahamic family of human fraternity. So, all the work that Rick Warren has done for the last 20 years, and Jeanette just posted May 14th, 1948, is that a coincidence? No, the devil knows what's happening. He knows what's going on. Don't kid me, man. Kid your grandma. The devil knows exactly what's going on. So, on the day where we observe the regathering of the nation of Israel, that is the official day of the document of human fraternity. That's when they celebrate that. And then, we told you last year, on February 4th, the United Nations, they took a vote and they said that they codified his document. And when you codify something, that means to place it into the canon of your law, of your archives, of your bylaws. That's what codification means. It means that you have set something up. It has parameters. It has a structure. And everybody all agrees on the same thing. And so last year, the United Nations, they have officially adopted the Declaration of Human Fraternity. Now, here's a fun fact. In just a couple of weeks, well, maybe about 8 weeks, they're going to be opening up in Abu Dhabi the Abrahamic Family House. And they are going to use intense digital means. And we'll be talking more about this as we get closer. But when they open up the Abrahamic Family House in Abu Dhabi, I think it's November 22nd, they are going to be using a very impressive digital display. And let me just pull up that link for you. Penny sent it to me the other day, and I want to read a little bit of this to you. Here it is. The digital world premiere of the Abrahamic Symphony. Let's see what that's all about. In November, they're having a festival in Abu Dhabi, and they are coordinating everything around the opening of the Abrahamic Family House. And the Abrahamic Family House is going to be the place where the one world religion of Chrislam is going to have its headquarters. Now you know what's going on. Now you know why our article on Saturday went viral. If you believe your King James Bible, if you're a student of Bible prophecy, then you know beyond the shadow of any doubt what's happening and what you're watching. You are watching the one world religion. It is now together. When they open up this Abrahamic Family House, it will be complete. And then they will simply wait for the man of sin to be revealed. Now, you may call me a conspiracy theorist. You can call me a tinfoil hat nut. You can call me a King James onlyist. You call me anything you want to call me. I could not care less. I know what I'm watching. I know what I'm seeing. And I have been watching this for 31 years. For the last 13 years, we, more than any other website, and I'm not bragging, I'm just simply saying it because it's true. We have done more to talk about Chrislam than any other website on the face of the earth. We've been talking about Chrislam for so long that when we first started talking about it, I had to explain it to people every single time. What do you mean? I don't understand. I've never heard that term before. Why do you call it Chrislam? Everybody knows what Chrislam is now. But we've been talking about that for this December will be 13 years. And we've been exposing Rick Warren for 13 years. And now all of those seeds that they planted are finally blooming. This is where we are on the end times timeline. All those seeds are coming up. All those seeds are blooming. And everybody is signing off on Chrislam. And they are using a document called the Document of Human Fraternity for World Peace. And when the rapture happens, these people aren't going to miss a beat. They're not going to wonder more than a minute and a half after we leave. They're not going to wonder at all where we went, because they're going to find themselves very, very busy for the next 7 years after we go. It's happening. And I'm here for whoever can receive it, for whoever can understand it, for whoever can believe it. You are watching the One World Religion, and the table is completely set. When that Abrahamic family house opens, you will be there. You will be there. That's how close we are. That's what's happening. That's why this article went viral. Now, let me ask you this question, and I'll close with this thought. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall melt, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." What should we be doing while we wait? We should be handing out as many Bibles as we can. If you've never donated to the Free Bible and Gospel Tract program, the Bibles Behind Bars program, the Gospel Billboard program, we're going to make a billboard specifically about the One World Religion of Chrislam. And we're going to get that up in a couple of weeks. And if you've never donated to support any of these things, we invite you to come join us, come help us to do these things. We are making an enormous difference in the body of Christ, for the body of Christ. God is using us to get something done. So please pray for this ministry. Lori Ann's going to put the link into the chat room where if God has put on your heart to donate, we need your donations. We need your prayers. We need you to come to the Knights of Lights on November 19th and go street preaching with us. We need you to join hands with us and help us to get something done. And that's the only way that we can do it. We got to do it together. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of this program. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday afternoon. Remember that we have Jack McElroy. Jack McElroy, he wrote What Bible Would Jesus Use? And New Age Bible Versions Exposed. He's going to be our guest for the NTEB sit-down. Also, I almost forgot, we need to pray for Florence. Florence, Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Erad Bursch is asking for prayers for his sister Florence. And we're asking, Lord, they say that she could possibly be leaning towards developing a stroke of some kind. And we ask you, Lord, to rebuke that, to rebuke the enemy, and heal her, Father God. Erad said that she had complications after getting vaccinated. So please help Florence. Please heal her. Don't let her blood vessels burst. Don't let her have that stroke, Lord. Set your hedge of protection about her in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we'll see you Wednesday at noon Eastern time for a sit down with Jack McElroy. Have a great week, everybody.
Are you disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. Will you start to believe? Don't have what it takes, 'cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead. Heaven to us, but make no mistake, there's still more to come when our flesh and our bone are no longer between where we are right now and where we're meant to be. Where